Welcome all to this week's episode of The Paranormal Patriot. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. I am your host for this week. Thank you for joining me. Another week come and gone. They're flying by. I don't know, 2019 is already flying by, but I thank you for joining me on this week's show. This week's show will be illuminating in the way that it is going to prepare you for what I believe is the inevitable. We talked a little bit about it 2 weeks ago with the Verizon outage. I've had a lot of people contact me saying, hey, what would happen? What do you think happens if we have an EMP attack on this country? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think would happen, but I want to tell you it's not, we don't just have to worry about an EMP attack. There's a couple other things that can happen that would cause complete societal disaster in this country. So we're going to talk about that this week. I've got a little bit of a paranormal topic to talk about today, too. I want to get into that. And as for the comment of the week, I asked everybody at the end of last show that was listening, if you are a Democrat, please tell me, send me an email at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Please send me an email telling me why it would be a good idea to raise the gas tax 45 cents to pay for the Michigan roads, even though we have been given this bait-and-switch policy for the last 10 years on how we're going to fix the roads here in Michigan. Every time we voted in, nothing gets done. Every time we say no, they implement it anyway, nothing gets done. So I wanted a Democrat to tell me why this one would be different. Listeners of the show, I only had one response, literally one response, and I want to go over that one. But I will tell you, before I get into that comment, the majority of my responses, of course, came from Michigan. As again, I am a Michigan show, so most of my comments came from Michigan because the show did very well. It resonated. I had a lot of people from Michigan share the show to their Michigan friends and say, hey, listen to this. Tell me what you think. So I had a lot of people that were never listeners of this show listen in, so hopefully I keep a couple. But regardless, I could have picked from 100 different emails, but they would have all said the same thing in their own separate way. Everybody that is against this tax, which is everybody but apparently one person, has the same thing to say in their own special way. But it boiled down to, Tom, it doesn't matter what we vote. It doesn't matter what we say. The politicians that are in office are going to make their decision regardless. We have no say in the matter. They would like us to think we have a say in the matter. They let us go to the polls every year, or every 2 years, every 4 years, and they let us vote. And we vote in who we want, but that doesn't mean that those policies are going to get implemented because of the certain fact that, A, they're going to tell you what you want to hear on the political trail, on the campaign trail. And once they get into office, they've got their own agenda. They have lobbyists. They have the people that got them there that they have to fulfill promises to. So they may, like Gretchen Whitmer, she made promises to a vast amount of people. Look, if I get in office, you help me get in office, this is what I will do for you. a lot of what she has to do is not going to be very positive and very well received by the Michigan populace. But she has to, because she told those people, and trust me, people, we have politicians. Our governor right now in Michigan, I'm sure across the country, I can say the same thing. They have no problem boldly and blatantly lying to you face to face about what they plan to do. They will tell you what you want to hear, so they will get your vote. And then they know they have no intention of doing that at all. However, they have no problem lying to you straight to the face. However, all of these higher up people, these lobbyists, these corporations, these people that are contributing hundreds of thousands of dollars to their election campaign, they will do everything they can to make sure that that promise to take care of them. You want that bill? You want that? You want this taken care of? I will do that. They will take care of them. But when it comes to coming clean and taking care of a campaign promise that they promised the voters, I can't do that. So that is what everybody was saying on these emails to me, that it doesn't matter what we say. We are here as pawns. There is a political machine that we have no part in. The only thing we do is place people in those positions. There's a secret government. A lot of people think on a state level there is a quote-unquote deep state government that is designing itself around making this a socialistic republic where the government is in full control, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I agree with them. Our voices are not being heard. Gretchen Whitmer is still going out and proposing this gas tax when overwhelmingly the Michigan voters have made it known to her that we don't want this. But it's going to go through. We're going to vote it down. If it goes to the ballot, the Michigan voters will vote it down overwhelmingly. And then in 2 years, because Michigan, for some reason, doesn't like a strong economy, it doesn't like lower taxes, it doesn't like lower unemployment numbers, it doesn't like a rebuilding Michigan. So we took that, the 8 years of prosperity that we had, and elected a Democratic governor, and can't understand why she wants to tax us through the roof. But in 2 years, we're going to take, which Michigan right now, the government is essentially Republican-led. In 2 years, we're going to make it a Democratic-led government. And therefore, anything that this governor wants, this governor will get. So we will have our gas taxes at least tripled, on top of gas taxes or taxes galore, on top of any other regulations, any other loss of freedoms you want to talk about, because that's what the Democrats do. The Democrats think that they are the best thing for you, that they know how to run your life better than you do. So they want to be intertwined into your life. Where the Republicans are like, look, it's your life. You do with it what you want. What side would you rather have? Would you rather have the government telling you what to do, or would you rather have your own life mapped out for you? So I got off on a little tangent, but that's essentially what everybody said, is we have no say. It's going to happen anyway. We'll just move. Well, that's exactly what happened under Jennifer Granholm, the last Democratic governor in Michigan. We lost business, we lost jobs, we lost population, because everybody, look at California. It's going to be the same thing as California. We're going to be taxed through the roof. Nobody can afford to live here. So that was the general consensus of every email I got over the past week. However, as I mentioned before, I asked at the end of last show, if you have any good, solid reason why a 45-cent gas tax should be implemented, please contact me and give me a good reason why. And I did. I had one person contact me. Diane, she contacted me from Saginaw, my old hometown. Doesn't do me proud, but Diane from Saginaw contacted me. She said, Tom, I've never listened to your show, probably will never listen to it again. I can understand why. But I sat through your hate-filled conservative rhetoric, completely trashing the Democrat Party. You asked at the end of your show for someone to give a good reason why a 45-cent tax increase would be beneficial to the people of Michigan. Well, I'm sure many others, will give you that reason. Now, I'm going to stop here because, again, I had well over 100 people respond to that question. Diane from Saginaw, you're the only one that was able to give me what you think is a good reason why we need a 45-cent gas tax. So she went on to say, right now our roads are atrocious. Can't argue that, Diane, I can't. I said it last show, they are atrocious. She said, we are vastly underfunded on the roads. This 45-cent gas tax, you make it sound like it will come in one fell swoop. It is going to come in increments of 15 cents over the course of 3 years. Now, I just want all my listeners to know, I did state that. April of 19, October of 19, April of 20, 15 cents each year, or every 6 months. So you're wrong there, Diane. She then went on to say, my husband is a truck driver. And the majority of truck drivers out there are not wanting to pay the tax. However, they are so tired of driving on these roads that the majority of them will welcome a gas tax if it fixes the roads. She then went on to say, your illustrious former leader, Governor Snyder, who gave a bunch of tax breaks to corporations, his friends, did nothing for the roads. This will help us finally take care of the road issue that we have in this state. Governor Whitmer ran on fixing the roads, and the population overwhelmingly voted her in to do so. This, unfortunately, will cost us, but we should have been paying for this all along. Sincerely, Diane, I won't give her last name, from Saginaw. Well, Diane, first off, thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate that. I don't know how you got it. I'm assuming somebody, because I had a lot of people say they sent it, shared it through Facebook. So I'm assuming that's how you got the show, because obviously your first time listener, probably never going to listen again. I'm spouting off hate-filled rhetoric and whatever. Anyway, first off, again, like I said, I told the listeners it's a 15-cent interval every 6 months starting in April of 19. So you're wrong there. Secondly, one of my best friends is a truck driver. And every single one of his truck driver buddies, everybody he works with, everybody he knows, is vehemently opposed to this gas tax. Do you want to know why? Because it will cost them $12,000 to $15,000 extra per year. That is from a truck driver's mouth. And let me tell you, I spent hours with him 2 weeks ago Friday talking about this. And he just didn't pop this number into his head. He has calculations that will prove that if you drive truck full time, you can expect $12,000 to $15,000 extra being lost every year because gas will be so much. I remember back in, it had to be 2006, 2007, the gas per gallon in Michigan was right at $4 a gallon. I mean, it was fluctuating between $3.89, $3.99, and at the time, I knew a couple truck drivers, and they were telling me that the company said, if it reaches $4 a gallon, we're parking the trucks. We're not moving. We're not paying it. Do you think that these companies are going to pay $12,000 to $15,000 a year extra for their drivers to drive merchandise that they're going to lose money on now? And with that being said, gas tax goes up. What do you think the companies are going to do? They're going to raise the prices of shipping. So that means the companies that are producing the product are going to be losing money because they're paying more for shipping. So therefore, they're going to raise the price of goods. And who do you think that hits? It's going to hit you and I, because we are the purveyors, the buyer of these goods that they are shipping. So not only are we getting hit with a 45-cent gas increase at the pump, we're going to be paying more at the stores when we buy everything because the cost of shipping has skyrocketed. See, this is what people don't realize. They just look at it and, hey, the roads need to be fixed. Listen, Diane, I get it. Roads suck here. I understand that 150%. My issue, and this is an issue with my quote-unquote illustrious leader, Governor Schneider, my issue is, where'd the money go that we were supposed to fix the roads with before? And what is going to make this any different? Before you charge me another 45 cents per gallon of gas, you need to explain to me where the two other gas tax increases went, because they didn't go toward the roads. And we have proof now that 40% of this 45 cents every gallon that we're going to be taxed is not going to go for the roads like this governor says. So before I end up paying another 22, 23 cents more on something other that nobody can tell me what it is, nobody can tell me where 40% of this tax is going to be going to. That is why I'm opposed to this tax, aside from the fact that we've been taxed before and have seen no difference in the roads. So that money that we have been shelling out to go towards roads is obviously not going towards roads. So I need to know before you tax me some more what you did with that money. Because that is my money, that is my tax, the taxpayer's money that you are essentially stealing from us, saying you're going to put it towards roads, but who knows where else it went. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of liberal Democrats out there that are saying, well, she means it this time. Great. She just said 45 cents every gallon of gas is going to go towards the roads. Her budget she submitted proves that 40% of that 45 cents per gallon is not going towards the roads. So why should we believe her? It's not going to. It's the same song and dance. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. This is insanity. This is the classic definition of insanity. We're doing the same thing over and over again, but we're going to expect it to be different this time. Ladies and gentlemen of Michigan, congratulations, you are all clinically insane. And on that note, we're going to take our first break. So, sit back, relax, open your mind, because we're going to talk about the possibility of what happens when the lights go out. Are you prepared? If you're not, hopefully at the end of this show, you'll be a little better prepared. So, thank you for listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This is your host, Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
My fate is sealed with no cards, trapped in a room with no walls. I'm going down along with this feeling like, but I wish you, it's all I know.
We couldn't do it for just 1 year, so they're going to do it for another. Join us in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from our special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Also, be sure to shop our amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much, much more. Now, some of the vendors from last year, your favorite vendors, they are returning, and they have added a number of new vendors for you to visit and see this year. Now, because last year's location was so popular, everyone was pleased with it, so they're going to do it again. This year, they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside of the hotel, and the rooms, they're the best. This year is promising and guaranteeing to be another educational and refreshing event. So join us September 20th and September 21st, 2019, at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan, for the Michigan UFO Contact 2. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Hey everybody, Tom Velasquez here, host of the Paranormal Patriot. If you have a paranormal expo, a paranormal event, if you have a paranormal book or anything paranormal, conspiracy, political related that you would like advertised on this show, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Contact me and I will put your show, your event, whatever you have, I will put it on here free of charge just to get word of mouth going. Now, the Paranormal Patriot is one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts in the podcast universe. So, not only will I do it for free, but your audience will be growing. That is hearing what you have to offer the listeners of the Paranormal Patriot. So again, if you have anything paranormal, conspiracy, political related that you want advertised on this show, contact me. I will do it for free. No charge for you. All you have to do is send me an email at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young to be standing on the edge. Too young to be out with the rain. You're too young.
All righty, let's get on with the show here. So, 2 weeks ago, I told you about how from mid-Michigan, Lansing area, down to the southern border of Michigan, parts of the East Coast, they lost their Verizon service. And when everybody who has Verizon lost their Verizon service, and I apparently worked with a lot of people who have Verizon, they lost their ever-loving minds. So I had a little segment. It was kind of an add-on segment to finish up a show. But it generated a lot of response because a lot of people were like, yeah, I lost my service and I didn't know what to do with myself. It's scary how dependent I become on this phone. A lot of people said, yep, I felt the same way. What would happen if the grid went down, Tom? So I received, and I'm still getting emails about that. So I thought, well, why don't I do a show about it? So that's what this show, the meat and potatoes of the show is going to be about, is what exactly is an EMP attack? Is that the only thing we have to worry about? And what is going to happen? So an EMP attack is basically, now I'm pulling a lot of this information off of a site called Prophecy Newswatch. It's a website I subscribe to, but it has a lot of end of days things, a lot of end of days scenarios, but it also talks about the possibility of stuff like this happening. So I received an email from these guys as I'm getting all of these questions about EMPs. And this is an article that I'm going to pull from, and I'm going to pull from my vast knowledge. I say that sarcastically, my vast knowledge of EMPs. So it was kind of like I got this email for a reason. I should probably talk about this. Now, it seems that DARPA is very, very concerned about the possibility of an EMP attack. Now, DARPA stands for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And this is an agency of the United States Government of Defense, and it's responsible for the development of emerging technologies for use by the military. In other words, they are the front line of the new technology that our soldiers, our men and women of the armed forces, are going to be using. They are so concerned about the possibility of a cyber attack taking out a power grid that they are extending an exercise recreating such a scenario late last year. And even though scientists tell us that it is inevitable that a solar tsunami will absolutely devastate our power grid at some point, our leaders on the federal level, they refuse to spend the money it would take to protect our basic electrical infrastructure. Now, keep in mind, Russia, China, North Korea, and who knows who else have developed extremely advanced EMP weapons, and we have absolutely no protection against them. One way or another, now this I firmly believe, one way or another, an extended blackout will eventually happen in the United States. So, with that being said, I've had a lot of people say, Tom, what happens if an EMP attacks? Well, first off, everything electronically, cars, appliances, electricity, phones, the internet, everything gone. Well, Tom, we'll still have our satellites in space, right? We will, but we won't have anything here on the planet to receive their signal. So the satellites are basically worthless. And with that being said, their propulsion system, their guidance system to keep them in orbit is not going to be relaying any message, so you're going to have satellites falling from the sky. But that's second concern right now. So we are basically in the dark. Now, if you want to see what happens when we go in the dark. Now, this can be from an EMP attack. Now, keep in mind, as I said, Russia, China, North Korea, whoever, they have the capabilities right now of rendering us blind, essentially. We rely on our electronics beyond what we should. We have no capabilities of protecting ourselves from an EMP attack. Now, an EMP attack is the country shooting off a nuclear, an ICBM, we'll say, an ICBM with a nuclear tip on it, and having it explode over the middle of the country. Now, depending on where this ICBM explodes is dependent on how far out this EMP or this blackout goes. For, let's just say for giggles, it reaches the Midwest and it explodes over our heads. That will fry every electrical system from the Midwest to the coasts, all the way north and south. Almost every part of the United States will be blacked out with no means of restoring the electricity or anything in the near future. So, there's also solar, as the scientists say, solar tsunamis or solar flares that can do this. We are way, way overdue for a huge solar flare to hit this planet. So there is concern that a solar flare is going to come hit this planet, and solar flares is basically solar radiation, solar wind, whatever you want to call it, and it will destroy the electrical system. Now, the only thing on that one is this is not done by an enemy of this country, so we wouldn't be the only country affected by this, so we'd kind of be all on the same playing field. If an EMP attack occurred, that is somebody deliberately trying to sabotage our electrical system. And when our electrical system is down, well, there's one or two ways they can do this. They can just come right in, waltz into the country, and take it over. Or they can try the quote-unquote humanitarian way and bring in humanitarian aid, say, hey, this is from Russia, you know, love the Russians. And people will be desperate at that point, and they will love whoever gives them whatever they need. So that is the other scenario. Now, what will life be for us on the ground here? Well, the best example I can give you right now is Venezuela. Venezuela, we laugh, a lot of people laugh about Venezuela. Look at what socialism does to you. And it does. That is a complete and utter fact about socialism is Venezuela. That is what socialism will do for you. However, life in Venezuela is essentially hell right now. And this is what life in America would be if we lose electricity. Now, this, not my favorite news source, but this comes from NPR. Now, the reason I chose this article is because NPR is a liberal bastion of news. So for them to give the conditions as it stands in Venezuela on a truthful level spoke volumes to me, because you will go to CNN, you'll go to MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, all those mainstream media places, and you will get the candy-coated version of what's going on in Venezuela. When's the last time you've seen anything about the Yellow Vest movement in Paris, in France, on any of those networks? You haven't, because they will tell you what the news is. And if they don't want you to see how bad Venezuela is, because socialism kills economies, they will just hide it from the news. So for NPR to say, hey, this is pretty bad, then that's a pretty big deal. But According to On Location reports, signs of the socialist crisis are everywhere you look in the Venezuelan capital. Drive around Caracas and you will see long lines of cars waiting for hours at the few gas stations still operational. Now, this is from Philip Reeves, NPR reporter, as he reported from the city. Motorists park on highways, cell phones aloft, looking for a signal. The rich have taken refuge in luxury hotels. The poor stand in lines in the street. The power outage has affected water pumps in some Caracas neighborhoods, meaning that people are waiting to fill water bottles at public locations such as springs. And as food supplies run out, people are becoming increasingly desperate, and desperate people do desperate things. Hundreds of stores are being looted and overwhelmed. Police are instructing store owners to fend for themselves. Now, of greater concern is the fact that many people are dying from lack of medical care. Without power, there is little doctors are able to do, and one mother was actually forced to carry the body of her dead daughter through the streets to a morgue after a hospital was unable to help her. A severely malnourished 19-year-old girl died in her mother's arms after doctors in Venezuela were forced to turn her away because of a massive blackout that shut down the hospital. Heartbroken mother Elizabeth Diaz was forced to carry her daughter's body, which weighed just 22 pounds, through the streets to a morgue. 19-year-old girl, 22 pounds. Now, again, a lot of Americans are mocking what's going on in Venezuela, but the truth is the exact same thing could happen here, too. Now, last November, DARPA held a 7-day exercise that simulated what would happen if a massive cyber attack suddenly took down our power grid. Now, DARPA, which again is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, their exercise, which took place from November 1st to November 7th, was fictional. But it was designed to mimic all the hurdles and uncertainty of a real-world cyber attack that took out power across the nation for weeks on end, a scenario that they called as a black start. To add realism, the exercise took place on Plum Island, which is a federal research facility off the North Fork of Long Island, where DARPA researchers were able to segregate a portion of the island on its own electrical grid. Now, over the course of the 7-day exercise, more than 100 people gathered on the island, filling every necessary role to mimic an actual black start. So it appears that the government is taking seriously the threat of either an EMP or a solar storm decimating our electrical grid. Now, again, I'm talking about an EMP a lot, but keep in mind that there is the possibility that we could actually have a natural phenomenon disable our electrical system. Our sun is capable of producing what scientists call a solar tsunami that could actually absolutely cripple our electrical grid at any time. Roughly 2,700 years ago, an unusually powerful solar storm swept past the Earth. Now, back in that time, which was pre-industry, it was pre-technological. It was a pre-technological world, pre-industrial world. It had little impact. However, an event today would cause widespread power outages along with a potentially disastrous communication and navigation failures. Now, a solar storm in 660 BC was 10 times stronger than any event known in the past 70 years. In 1859, an absolutely enormous solar storm known as the Carrington event hit the United States. Now, this solar storm of 1859 was a powerful geomagnetic storm during solar cycle 10. What happened is a solar coronal mass ejection, a CME, hit Earth's magnetic sphere and induced one of the largest geomagnetic storms on record, which occurred September 1st and 2nd of 1859. This associated a white light flare in the solar photosphere and was observed by British astronomers Richard Carrington and Richard Hodgson. A solar storm of this magnitude occurring today would cause widespread electrical disruptions, blackouts, and damage due to extended outages of the electrical grid. Now, we had a solar storm in 2012 that was similar in magnitude, but it passed Earth's orbit without striking the planet. That was only missed by 9 days. So we missed a massive Carrington event solar storm by 9 days. Think about that. 2012, 9 days we missed it by. Your life could be completely different at this point if 9 days. It doesn't, you know, 9 days sounds like a lot, but in the scheme of things, 9 days is a fraction of time. In the time of space, it's minimal. If such a storm were to hit us right now, electronic devices would be fried from coast to coast, and the power grid would be down for the foreseeable future. Life would dramatically change for all of us, and chaos would be unleashed all across this nation, guaranteed. This is just one of the main reasons that I'm going to tell you. This is why I'm telling you on this show. We need to prepare, because our government is most definitely not preparing us for this kind of threat. I also want to mention that Russia, China, and North Korea have been developing highly sophisticated super EMP weapons that we have no defense for. Now, I've got a following report from a Washington Free Beacon article. It states, several nations, including China and Russia, are building powerful nuclear bombs designed to produce super electromagnetic pulse waves capable of devastating all electronics from computers to electric grids for hundreds of miles, according to newly released congressional studies. A report by the now-defunct Commission to Assess the Threat to the United States from an EMP attack for the first time reveals on how nuclear EMP weapons were integrated into the military doctrines of China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. Now, first off, why is this study or commission to assess the threat to the United States from EMP attack, why is this now defunct? This is the time when it should be up and running, but China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, some of our biggest enemies right now, it is in their military doctrine to EMP, or to attack us via EMP. So what would happen? I mean, honestly, we'd lose every ounce of electronics that we are capable of having. Our phones, our computers, our cars, our telephones, our anything electrical, anything you can think of that has an electric current, be it battery-powered, be it wire-fed, from a power station, is down. With that being said, we cannot pump water, we have no electricity, we have no heat, we have no air conditioning. It's going to affect us. Now, if we have an EMP or a solar geomagnetic storm, it will be out for an extended period of time. Look at when we have a snowstorm or a large weather event coming. Look at how the people react. The day before the weather is supposed to occur, if you go to the store is chaos. The shelves are bare because people don't know how to react. So they just stock up, stock up, stock up, stock up. And it's no big deal. But the key is, rather than waiting before the day before this weather event, you need to stock up now. Because we don't know when we are going to lose our electrical system. We don't know. So you have to be prepared. The first thing you need to do is be prepared for many, many weeks, if not months, of no power. First off, you need water. Everywhere that you go has water on sale at one time or another. Buy 24 packs and just stock up. But the thing is, you need to keep them. If you have a basement, keep them out of the sunlight and keep them covered. The plastic will deteriorate and the water will go bad, per se. But you need to keep it covered and need to keep that water out of the sunlight. If you do that, water will stay for years and years and years in plastic bottles. So stock up on water. Stock up on canned food. You can go to the store during any sale, and you may not like beets, you may not like carrots or whatever, but you know what? If they're on sale, pick up a couple cans. And just stock them. Stock them if you have a basement. Have a spot in the basement where you keep your non-perishable goods. And you have to have candles. You have to have, I'd say flashlights, but I don't think flashlights are going to work. So have candles. Have matches, lighters, something that you can light when it gets dark. Because the dark will come. You have no way to prevent it. And you have no way of seeing anything around you. Now, this is where it gets scary. There are people out there that are not going to be prepared at all. And they are going to get desperate. And they are going to do desperate things. Listen, you have a family man. You have a father who is a great person, never did anything wrong in his life. If he's looking and watching his family starve to death, he will do crazy things to make sure he provides for them, to make sure his family doesn't die. And that's what we are up against. You will have people in your neighborhood. It could be your neighbor who you're best friends with who is not prepared. You've got all this food, all this water. And, you know, one thing that I would recommend is don't announce it. Don't announce, oh yeah, I got a ton of food, I got a ton of water down the basement that we're just in case. Don't announce it. Because when the inevitable comes, who do you think that these people that are not ready, if they know you have food and water, where do you think they're going to go? They're going to go to you. And you have to decide, do I take them in? Because that means less for my family, or do I shoo them away? Now, if you shoo them away, then you have a huge problem. Because at this point, that person becomes desperate. That person may say, hey, if you give me a bottle of water or a can of food or two, I will tell you where there's a stockpile of food and water. And then you have what you have, these roaming gangs. Now, I don't know how many of my listeners out here are quote-unquote video gamers, but there is a video game that just came out called Tom Clancy's The Division 2. And it revolves around this premise of a super virus knocked out the country. I mean, it decimated the population. The survivors are essentially back to the Stone Age because electricity, communications are almost non-existent. And there's a pack or a group of resistance fighters that are fighting against what they call the hyenas, which are a group of people that have banded together to basically come to your house, take what they want, kill you, go to the next house, and they have little communities. Well, that's what you're going to have. And at that point, neighbors, friends, family, it doesn't matter. The survival instinct will kick in. And people who you would never expect to do anything horrible to you will do the most horrific things to make sure that they and their families survive. So with that being said, you need protection. You need to have firearms. I know that's a bad thing to say nowadays. You need to protect yourself with guns and ammo, but you have to be prepared. Because the people that are coming at you are going to be in many numbers, and they're going to be heavily armed. Now, I've read a lot. I am a big-time reader of the post-apocalyptic or, you know, EMP, earthquake, you know, end-of-days type scenario where people are banding together and I've read books about neighborhoods basically forming walls and cordoning off the neighborhood and protecting it. And that's going to happen. It will happen. You need to learn how to grow a garden. Depending on where you live, up in my neck of the woods, it's getting harder and harder to grow a garden every year because the growing season seems to be shorter and shorter. But you need to grow a garden. You need to protect your home. Windows, not going to work anymore. You have to have wood, anything of protection over your windows. You need to find or create kind of a safe room, I guess, where if somebody comes in, you can move your family in there and they can't get in. Let them take what they can. What is most important in this time and situation is you and your family. The key is not to tell people, I have food, I have water, I'm stocking up in case something bad happens. because people have long memories in that situation. They will remember what you said. And you could say it 10 years later or before. You know, you could go downstairs with your buddy and like, what's all this food and water? Well, that's in case the shit hits the fan. I'm prepared. Well, when the crap hits the fan 10 years later, that's going to pop in their head. Whoa, Tom's got all this food and water. I'm going over there. And then when they ask, hey, can we come in and, you know, get some food and water? You have to make that decision. Do I take from my family and give to theirs? Some of you may say, absolutely. My friends are my friends. I got to take care of them. And that's great. Band together. Some of you may say, I can't afford it. I can't afford to give away any food or water. This is for my family. You should have prepared better than this. That's a problem too. Because that person is either going to come back by themselves, or he's going to round up, he or she or whoever, will round up a gang of people to take what they think you shouldn't have and they should. Prepare yourself. This is an inevitability. This is coming. I guarantee you, be it EMP, be it a cyber attack, or be it a natural phenomenon, a geomagnetic storm, we are going to lose power. And it will not be an overnight thing. It will not be weeks. It will not be months. Hell, it may even be years before you see power coming back on. Your life as you know it will be turned upside down. This is coming. Now, I hope, because listen, I don't want to sound like the pessimist. I don't want to sound like the fearmonger. But when I say this is coming, I mean this is coming. There's no way to avoid it. We as a country are not ready for any type of EMP, cyber, or geomagnetic storm. We are not ready for any type of attack. It's just a matter of when they want to do it. We may be able to stop the first one. We may be able to stop the second one, but it's eventually going to happen. Now, when this does happen, I hope, beyond hope, and it's going to sound mean, but I'm thinking of it as a nation, as friends and family. I hope it's a geomagnetic storm, because that way everybody is affected by this, not just America. Because if America is affected by an EMP or a cyber attack, that means our enemies are going to come in and take control of this country. And you can be a dissident, you can be a nationalist, you can be America, 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 and you will not live to see it. We are going to be in trying times. I can already see the emails coming in. Oh my gosh, look at this fearmonger. But I'm telling you, this is coming. This is inevitable. It's going to happen. Your job is to prepare. If you're listening to this show right now, prepare. If you are already prepared, get more prepared. Stock up food, water, ammo, firearms, protection. Because when it hits the fan, all family, all friends, that's out the door. It's survival of the fittest. The survival instinct kicks in, and there's no telling what people will do. So just look at Venezuela. Look at Venezuela. It's a modern-day equivalent of what would happen. But the thing is, when it happens in America, it's going to be on a much larger scale. So keep that in mind. Any comments, any questions, contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. We are going to take a quick break. When I come back, I've got an hour slot here because of the Coming Right Up Radio Network. I have an hour to do the show, so I'm trying to keep these shows 55, 57 minutes long. I'm not going to have time to do the paranormal segment. So what I will do is I will set it up for next week. I am going to tell you what we've got coming up next week on the show. You're going to want to listen to it if you're into the paranormal, but you got to stay tuned to hear what it's about. So sit back, relax, take a load off. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I'll be right back. I've been wondering, do you need anything? The time is almost here. The new EP from Multiple Mycelles and Tommy V is near completion, and when it is released, you can find it on Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, wherever you get your music, you can find it. Be prepared for the light side of Multiple Mycelles and Tommy V, and also be prepared for the dark side. Whatever side you fall on, just be prepared for Multiple Mycelles and Tommy V's new EP coming soon to Spotify, to iTunes, to Google Play, to everywhere you get your music from. Download it, stream it, tell your friends about it, but just tell them, be prepared for Multiple Mycelles and Tommy V's upcoming EP coming soon. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
And I grace with the touch of a moonlit street. So the clothes leave us here on the West Coast heat. Hope it stays to the lips, keeps me up for the rest of the night. Keep your eyes shut tight, let your body see. Hear the sound of the waves like if God could speak. Keep the taste of your lips on my own for the rest of my life.
All right, so today's show did not work out quite like I wanted. I wanted to have a paranormal segment at the end of the show, but the first part of the show ran a little long due to the fact that I am now on Coming Right Up Radio. I have a one-hour slot, and what you hear whenever you download this on Podbean or Stitcher is what you hear on Coming Right Up. I got to keep it at an hour. So what I'll do is I will tell you what I got planned for next week and maybe the week after. Back in October, if you were a listener of the show back in October, I had this vast vision of a pre-Halloween weekly series of what we called supernatural monsters. And I started off with werewolves, and it was a phenomenally received show, and then things happened. Now, for those of you who don't know and haven't listened back that far, every year, my wife and I, we put on a huge Halloween party for our family and friends. We go all out. The house looks like a haunted house you would walk through that you pay good money for. I convert my garage into a club and I DJ it and there's people dancing. It took us six weekends of working 12 hours a day, Saturday and Sunday. And then my sister-in-law, working during the week, trying to get this house ready for this party. So I ran out of time. I couldn't do shows, and I keep going back, man, I really got to do that. And, well, that's what I plan on doing. So next week on the show, unless some major news event hits, I plan on starting up Supernatural Monsters again. And I plan on talking about vampires. Then I'm going to talk about ghosts. I may talk about both of them on the same show now that it's an hour long. I'll probably do that. I'll do vampires and ghosts, and then we'll go into another set for the next week, which is what my original plan was, to go 3 weeks out, bring it right to Halloween, and there's my supernatural monsters for October. Well, it didn't work out. So that's what I plan on doing, because I've been doing a lot of politics on this show, and I get a lot of feedback from politics when I do politics, but there is a core group of my audience that is into the paranormal, and that's where I like to talk. I love talking politics because, well, I love to hear myself talk, apparently, but I have a love for the paranormal. I've had a love for the paranormal, the unknown, for, well, I'm 47 years old. Since I can remember. I remember seeing things when I was a kid. I remember going through things when I was a kid that I just that love for the paranormal has always been there, and it has caused me ridicule. It has caused me to be laughed at, to be mocked, but it's also caused me to be admired, because a lot of people that listen to me, they admire the vast knowledge, I guess. Vast knowledge is not my words, but we'll just say my knowledge of the paranormal, because this is a 40-year minimum endeavor that I have been reading up on. Ever since I can remember, I have been involved in the paranormal, either reading about it, thinking about it, writing about it, directly involved in it, however it is. And I want to get back to the roots of the show, which was a paranormal show, and then it converted into a political show for a while, and I lost all my paranormal listeners, and then it went to paranormal, and I lost all my political listeners. So that's why I call this show a parapolitical show, is because I combined the two. Now, so next week is going to be monsters and the subject of ghosts. It's going to be vampires and ghosts. I'm going to talk about the history of the vampire. I'm going to talk about the history of the ghost, some of the more common ghost stories. What I need you to do for me is let me know, have you seen a ghost? If you've seen a ghost, if you've had any personal encounter, any paranormal encounter at all, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. I'm going to give you some listener accounts next week, and I'm going to talk about the history and of the vampire, the lore of the vampire, and talk about the current trend of vampirism. So that's the show for next week. I hope my paranormal listeners are excited about it, because I am very excited to do the show. So let's hope that that's how it works out. Doesn't seem to ever work out like I want it to, but we'll see. So that will be the show this week. I appreciate you listening to the show. Let me know what you think. Do you think an EMP attack is inevitable? Like I do. I don't want to be the fearmonger. I don't want to be the guy that is always the looking at the wrong side or half-empty glass, half-empty guy, but I think it's inevitable. Let me know what you think. Contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This is your host. My name is Tom Velasquez, signing off. I will talk to you next week. Every day, we told each other to be